Hello, and welcome to Hope Church. We're a local church with chill style, real faith, and no perfect people allowed. Thanks for checking out our podcast. This is a message from our Soquel location in the Santa Cruz, California area. We hope this message is encouraging. If you live near either of our locations, we'd love to have you join us for one of our many Sunday services.
Hey, good morning, Hope Church family. So good to be with you this morning. Let us know in the comments where you guys are watching the service from. We'd love to know where you're coming from, and we'd love to see how you're doing church. If you want to just tag hashtag Hope Church Fam, we'll check that out, and it'll be a way to get the message out to us and other people that are watching too. And thank you guys for joining us this morning. Who here out there is a little zoomed out? I mean, what a great technology. Aren't we so grateful for Zoom? But if you are zoomed out, you know what I'm talking about. We are doing Zoom kindergarten, and it is 22 5 and 6-year-olds unmuted. Man, 22 people unmuted is one thing, but when you get that many kids, and you know, we were having a hard week the other week, and so we thought, man, this is so tough. But then we were thinking, man, this has got to be so hard on the teachers. Right? Man, can we give a little shout out to the teachers out there right now? You guys are the heroes, unsung heroes. I was talking to the principal the other day, and she said that all the teachers are working till like 9 o'clock at night trying to get this together, trying to figure out the technology and help our students learn. And you know, so as I was thinking about that, it was cool. I was kind of feeling frustrated for trying to figure this out with my kid, but then I shifted it in my brain when I saw, you know, how can we bless the teachers? And so we went to just the local coffee shop and picked up some, you know, sent a Google sheet, and the teachers filled in their orders, and we showed up with a bunch of coffee the other morning, and it was so encouraging just to see their faces and see them encouraged. And then I thought, you know what, that was so fun, I'm going to do that again. And so I just cold called another local school that I don't even know, I don't have any relationship with them. I just called them up and I said, hey, this might sound weird, but I'm Danny from Hope Church, and I thought it'd be cool. Maybe, could we bring some coffee just to say thank you to the teachers? And I, you know, maybe I'll never get a voicemail back, but I got a call back from the principal and ended up, we were texting about the details later. And it was so encouraging that this person said, hey, by the way, my family and I have been watching the live stream on Sunday mornings, and we've been so encouraged. This is a person I don't even know this person. And I thank you for watching, by the way, if you're out there watching today. But I just thought that was so encouraging that we're getting to reach out to people that we've never met before through this. And so maybe if that's you out there and you're watching this service, you're encouraged, we'd love to know who you are, and just maybe even just shoot us a quick message just to let us know that you're checking in, or maybe there's some improvements we can make. Let us know. Anyways, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a crazy year, not just for teachers, but almost everybody. It's been a crazy year. Right? You know, we had back in March, remember this moment, it was, you know, we need to go shelter in place. There's a pandemic. You need to go inside, right? So we need to go inside. But then if you want to get a haircut, you need to go outside. But if you want to go to Home Depot and hang out with hundreds of people, you need to go inside. And then we've had this back and forth, right? Unless you're protesting, then you can go outside. But there's riots and looting, so you need to go inside, right? And just on and on, this inside, outside. And then we had the fires, right? You need to evacuate, go outside. People were sleeping in tents. And then we had the forecast for dry lightning. You need to go back inside because there's lightning, you know? And it's just on and on, this crazy year that we've had. You know, and then we had smoke from the fires, right? We were going to do an outdoor service, and then the smoke was so bad we had to cancel that, and everybody go inside. And it's the inside outside. And today, we're going to be doing church outside at 11 a.m. So if you want to get around some people, socially distance, of course, we're going to be having church outside is actually kind of nice, you know. And but I just was thinking about one thing that is certain. This year has proven that there's one thing that's certain is uncertainty. And now you might be thinking, man, I thought this was Hope Church. That just sounds really discouraging. But it's the truth, right? We live in a world where there's so much uncertainty. You know, I spent a lot of time down at the beach and like, you know, in the sand, looking at the water. You know, I'm a surfer, so I'm always looking for the waves and the swells. And if you spend enough time down at the ocean, you'll find that what you think of as a constant is actually constantly shifting. You know, there's certain beaches where, you know, the tides, well, all the beaches, the tides are coming in. The tides are going out. The swells are coming. There's a big swell, and then it's calm. And, you know, the sand, even the sand, it looks like this. There's this constant beach, but what you'll notice is if you go to the same beach every day throughout the year, the sand will move over here. The sand will completely go out and be gone and just be rocks, and then all this sand will come back. And there's this constant shifting happening in all of creation, right? It's just this constant shift, and it's almost like we're standing in shifting sand, right? And all of this movement is happening, and the one constant is change, and that is life. And then I think about not just the ocean, but then I think about a lighthouse. And it's, we live in Santa Cruz, and we have these iconic lighthouses here. And this is the, there's a picture on the screen there of the Walton Lighthouse down by the harbor. That's one that is pretty close to where I live. And I just love to walk down there with my family, walk on the beach. And it just, the picture of a lighthouse to me is just like this constant, right? It was designed to be this constant symbol for sailors as they were coming in, to find safety, to find harbor, to avoid danger. But even the lighthouses themselves, if you go and you get close up to them, you'll notice that the paint is chipping, that water is eroding, that over time that light will dim out and need to be replaced. Even these symbols of constant are in constant change. One of the things that maybe you noticed as we started the series, we've got this little bumper with the iconic new seven wonders of the world. You might be wondering, why did they put that in there? What's that about? And so we thought, this is the last week of the series, we thought we'd explain that to you guys. What's that about? Why are these seven wonders of the world, why are they relevant to this conversation? You've got the Great Wall of China. You've got, I don't know how to say this, Chichen Itza, is that right? Petra, Machu Picchu, I know how to say that one. Christ the Redeemer, that big statue in Brazil. The Colosseum and the Taj Mahal. And what's symbolic of these are the new seven wonders of the world. Did you catch that? Even the seven wonders of the world are not lasting because we had to find new seven wonders because the original seven wonders are all but in ruins. Let's look at the original seven wonders. You've got the Great Pyramids of Giza in Egypt, which there are ruins that are left there. But the rest of these don't even exist any longer. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Statue of Zeus at Olympia in Greece, the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. It's kind of a biblical reference there. The mausoleum of, how do you say that, Chris? Mausoleum, thank you. You get on camera as you kind of get your words mixed up once in a while. The mausoleum, of course. The Colossus of Rhodes and the Lighthouse of Alexandria, Egypt. There's a lighthouse right there. And the reason why we're talking about this is because even the seven wonders in the world are not built to last. But there is something that is built to last. And that's what this series is all about. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. The last few weeks, we've been kind of focusing on what are the core elements of the church, and we're looking at basically two different scriptures. And, you know, one is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, Matthew 22. And then you've got the Great Commission in Matthew 28, which says, this is what it says, all authority, Jesus speaking, all authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, the last couple of weeks we talked about what it means to go. Last week, Chris talked, and it was a really great message. If you didn't see it, he talked about what it really means to make disciples. And I love that he kind of broke down what seems like a daunting task to something that everybody can do. And today I wanted to just hit on one little part of this, but actually a few different parts of this that we don't normally talk about. And the truth is, in this uncertain world, we have a hope that we can hold on to. There's something that Jesus is building that is unchanging, that's built to last. And I want to talk about that today. What do we have in this world that we can anchor into, that we can hold on to, that's truly lasting? You know, it's not my job. It's not my car. It's not my house. Obviously, we've experienced the dangers of fire here in Santa Cruz County. Many people are left trying to rebuild their homes, which we're trying to help with. By the way, if that's you, we'd love to bless you. Just go to our website, and there's a little form there, and we'd love to just reach out and help you in any way that we can. But that is just, in my mind, we've seen it. Everything in our world has been shaken. The economy, right? Our safety and security, education, jobs, homes, everything in this world has been shaken this year. And there's one thing that we can have hope in, and it's a person. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. And I want to read you a story out of the Gospel of Mark today. And just as we wrap up this series, I think it's appropriate that our focus is just on that one thing that is our hope, that is Jesus. It's like you're in the storm, and the waves are crashing, and the wind is blowing, and you're looking for hope. And one of these gets thrown at you. This is from my office, and it's pretty beat up, and you really wouldn't want me to throw this at you in the water, because number one, I think the fiberglass may lacerate your face. And then second of all, I don't think this will float. It'll probably sink you. But my friend gave me this, and I thought, oh, that's so cool. It's such a cool symbol of what God does for us. In an uncertain world that's constantly changing, that's constantly, bringing fear into our lives, when you really look at the situation, we have this hope, and we have something we can hold on to. And it's not hope because of what this is. It's hope because of what's on the other end of the rope. And not what's on the end of the rope, but who is on the other end of the rope. And that is Jesus. And so I want to read you this passage right now from Mark chapter 4. Let's set this back down here. Mark 4, verse 35. It says, that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was. I love that line right there, just as he was. I think sometimes we're tempted to bring Jesus into our life just as we want him to be, but not just as he is, you know? And I think this story is going to maybe expand what your picture of who Jesus is a little bit. It says they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall, or a big storm, came up, and the waves broke over the boat. That's a scary thing if you're sailing at night in a little boat. I've seen the picture of these boats that they used to sail in, and they're not like big, giant sailing vessels. I mean, they were pretty small compared to what we sail on today. And you would not want the waves crashing over the boat. It says the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus is in the boat, by the way. There's good news. It says that Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Have you ever had that conversation with God? Maybe lately. God, don't you care about my house? Don't you care about my job? Don't you care about my kids? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? It says, he got up rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Verse 41 says, they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." In that moment, the disciples were already afraid. They were afraid that they were going to die. They were afraid that they were going to sink, that they were going to drown. And when they woke up Jesus, he did something. He calmed the waves and the wind. But then it says that the disciples were terrified. They went from being afraid to having Jesus in their boat to being terrified. Why were they so terrified? Because they realized that Jesus wasn't just who they thought he was. Yes, he was a cool person to hang out with. Yes, he was a really good teacher. Yes, he was a prophet. But more than that, he could speak to the wind and the waves and say, "Stop it." And it got quiet and it got still. In that moment, their picture of Jesus went from here to here. Some of you guys need to meet Jesus in the storm. Oftentimes, when we go through things like this, these are the moments where we get to experience Jesus in a different way than we ever have. Maybe you're standing there today. Maybe you're thinking about that today. You're like, "God, why are you letting me drown?" Maybe you're questioning your faith, even doubting. And I want to encourage you, lean into Jesus. Allow him to be more than what you think he is. I believe Jesus is still powerfully present. I believe that he still hears our cries. I believe that he still hears our prayers, and I believe that he still is able to calm the storm that you are in. And the reason why the church is built to last, kind of like this, right? I mean, this thing would be helpful in the ocean if you're drowning. But unless there's someone on the other side of it to pull you out, it's really not that much help, is it? And I think that's the picture of the church that I want us to have, is that, you know, the church is great. It's something that we're all part of. But unless we are tied in and connected with who Jesus is, allowing him to become as he is in our lives, we're just going to be still floating off at sea. We want to make sure that we're tied in to the one that truly is building his church. We're tied into the one that is truly lasting. Check this out. I got three quick thoughts for you. The first thing, I already said this, but it's this. Hope is a person. Hope is in a person. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven has been given to me." Everything in this life is changing. Everything this year is challenging us. And it's a great time to look to Jesus, because he is the only thing that is not changing. He's the only thing that is constant in the waves. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So the Jesus that we read about in the scriptures, he is the same. He's not changing. And he is still alive. He died on the cross, yes, but he rose from the grave. And he ascended to be with the Father in heaven. And he is there interceding for us. He is there waiting for us. And he doesn't want heaven without us. And so he is waiting for us to be with him. And that's not just a someday thing. That's here and now. He's powerfully present here and now. You know, he was sleeping on the boat right in the middle of a storm. And sometimes he's with you and he's powerfully present, but you don't know he's with you. Or maybe it seems like he's asleep. And that's when we have to go to him. And then we have to invite him into our moments, into our struggles, into our pain. The second thing I want to point out is this, and this ties into what we talked about last week, is that not only is hope a person, but our path is His Word. He doesn't leave us to float in the ocean alone. He gives us His Word, and He gives us like commands, right? And His commands for us are love, to teach us, to walk us through so we can live this life and have hope and to share that with other people. It says, He said, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded to you to do. That's part of the Great Commission, right? So like, go. Don't wait for people to come to us. Let's get out there. Let's go to people. And let's bring good news, right? And then, but let's also, along the way, let's teach them everything that Jesus has told us. Let's pass along as we invite people, as Chris shared last week, about inviting people into our family, into community, into friendship. Then we earn that right to be heard, where we can share these truths and we can pass on everything that Jesus has told us. Luke 21:33 says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That was Jesus speaking. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. What are the things in this life that you can do, that you can invest in, that you can know, that will last? It's not the seven wonders of the world, but it's that relationship, and it's the Word of God. It's the words of Jesus that we can hold on to be an anchor. I love this. Jesus kind of told a little bit of a parable here, one of His teachings, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. And I think this totally relates to everything we've been talking about with the sand and the ocean. Check this out. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. I think about like a house, like right out, you know, like Steamer Lane. There's like the lighthouse, right? You're living in that thing, right? And it's built on a rock. And it gets gnarly with the storms and the waves and the wind, but it still stands, right? And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I think we've all experienced and been a part of things like that, where we've invested into something that isn't meant to last. And the waves come, and the wind comes, and the storm comes, and it falls apart. I don't know about you, but I want to invest my life in the things that are standing. I want to invest my life in the words of Jesus. And the last thing is this. Not only is our hope in a person, our path is in His Word. And finally, our power is in His presence. Jesus said, and surely I am with you always. That's where our power comes from. Not because of the size of building that we have or the amount of money that we have. It comes from our connection, right? Our connection to the Savior, our connection to Jesus. That's where the power comes from. I was just on the phone, super encouraged today. I was talking to some pastors in the greater Bay Area. We have kind of a team that we just kind of meet up once a month and talk and pray for each other. And it was so encouraging hearing all the different stories of how God was working in their lives and through their churches. And one of the stories that stood out to me was this one of my friends, he's a pastor in Hollister, and he had a guy named Cowboy Joe come to his church. He's an old cowboy, and the guy's been deaf in one ear forever. And I don't know how the whole thing went down, but somehow they had this, they were having a, I don't know, outdoor men's thing. And somehow somebody offered to pray for Cowboy Joe, and they prayed for him, and the guy went from being completely deaf in one ear to completely hearing. And that's not something to brag about. That's just something to say. That is the power of God. And I truly believe that if we're connected to the source of Jesus Christ in the midst of this storm, in this midst of this year, and we know it's not, you know, it's not over yet. It's still 2020, right? We still have some things to get through here before the end of the year. And we need to be not just anchored into Jesus as our hope. We need to be connected to his words. We need to make sure that we take time to allow the words of Christ to transform us. But then finally, we need to make sure that we're connected to his presence. He is with us all the time. And that's where the power is. Not in what we can do or how spiritual we can be. None of that. It's all about him. And it's all about staying connected with him. And I want to encourage you today, how can you stay more connected to the source? How can you invest your life in things that are lasting, that are built to last? How can we be a church that's so anchored into Christ that we can bring hope to people that are going through the storm? I want to be that buoy. I want to be that buoy so that God can just throw me out there when people's lives are in chaos and I can show up with good news. That's the church we want to be. Amen? I want to conclude this series and this message with a prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, which kind of relates to one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis. But check this out. For this reason, now let me pray this over you too. Wherever you're at, let's just join me in prayer as I pray this scripture over you guys. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
We hope this message encouraged you to take the next steps in your relationship with God. The cool thing is that you don't have to do it alone. There are a lot of ways you can get connected to your hope. Not only do we want you to feel at home at Hope, we'd love to help you find a home. Please check out discoverhope.church and click connect, or just email us at info@discoverhope.church. Lastly, we give everything we can away for free and rely 100% on volunteers and donations to support this ministry. If you'd like to give to the mission of Hope Church, you can select the give option on our website or text any amount to 831-800-2060. Thanks again for tuning in.